Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parable of the Barren Fig Tree, continued. The challenge of our Lord's picture of the vine dresser and his request. Notice first that the vine dresser was able and willing to make such a bold request. What a willing and helpful man he was! He not only made the helpful suggestion, but offered to do the necessary work. There's no hint of sullen slavishness or the doing of the bare minimum of work here. Surely, these things point to a very happy, close, and productive relationship between the owner of the vineyard and his man on the site. He recognizes that the owner's decision is final and that he's merely a servant. And yet, the relationship between them is such that he can make his request and make his offer to play an active part in the year-long experiment. Then it is worth noticing what he asked for and what he did not ask for. He only asked for a stay of judgment, one more year, for the tree to prove whether it could ever be fruitful, worthy of its place in the vineyard. He did not ask for the tree to be spared indefinitely, even though it was fruitless. Finally, do notice that if the owner granted what he was asking for, he was willing and offered to do everything he could to enable the tree to be fruitful. He was willing to clear the ground and in some way challenge the tree to fruitfulness. He was also willing to put on manure over the roots and give the tree every encouragement to bear fruit. Looking at each of these in turn, the vine dresser's relationship with the owner of the vineyard. If the fruitless fig tree is a picture of unrepentant Israel, who is on record in Scripture pleading for the nation to be spared? Abraham, the friend of God, is the first person we read of begging the Lord to spare a people. He acknowledged that he was but dust, but nevertheless took upon himself to plead with the Lord for the notoriously wicked city of Sodom. He begged the Lord to spare the city if just some, successively fewer and fewer, righteous people could be found within its walls. We read of Moses, with whom God spoke face to face, pleading with the Lord to spare the people of Israel. They had been miraculously rescued from oppression in Egypt, but now, because of their blatant, God-provoking idolatry in creating and worshipping a golden calf as the gods who brought them out of Egypt, justice demanded that they be totally destroyed, wiped out, and obliterated. Finally, we read of Daniel and later Nehemiah acknowledging both their personal failures and the godlessness of the people of Israel and pleading with the Lord for mercy. Each of these men walked very closely with the Lord God. Like the vine dresser, they were able to boldly cry to the Lord to hold back his hand of judgment. They were also more than willing to play their part. Surely, this in itself is a spiritual challenge to each one of us. Could the Lord Jesus be also speaking of himself, as he tells his parable? His own walk with the Father could not have been closer, and his whole aim was to do his Father's will. Was he reflecting a conversation in heaven? Isaiah speaks of the suffering servant of the Lord interceding for transgressors. Then, the Lord Jesus did not come to condemn, judge, or destroy, but to redeem Israel. The Lord's ministry, and subsequently that of his chosen apostles, would certainly give the house of Israel one more chance to turn, to repent, and be fruitful. In his final words to his disciples, Jesus reminded them that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Do notice, Jerusalem first, as it would only be some 40 years before the judgment of God, their owner, began to fall on the nation of Israel. It will fall, finally, on all of us in the last day. In the meantime, these are days of grace, days of opportunity to turn, believe, and be fruitful. For the encouragement of us all, we read that the Lord Jesus, on the night before his crucifixion, prayed for the disciples and for those who would believe through their word. Now risen and ascended, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Secondly, what the vine dresser asked for and what he did not ask for. In his day, Matthew Henry urged ministers and church leaders to pray earnestly for the people entrusted to their care, not that they might never be cut down, but that, like this fruitless fig tree, they might be given more time and every opportunity to repent. How many of us, as John Calvin points out, have cause to thank the Lord God for his patience with us. When justice was well deserved, he gave us time and opportunity under one form of godly influence or another, books, preaching, or close friendship, to turn, to believe, and to begin to bear spiritual fruit. What an encouragement this is to cry to the Lord for members of our own family who have yet to repent and believe, not to plead that the Lord God would accept them, unbelieving and spiritually fruitless as they are before him, but that he would make himself known to them, that they might bend the knee and cry for mercy in the name of the Son of God, and so become his ransomed, healed, forgiven people, living fruitfully to the praise of his glory. Thirdly, the willingness of the vine dresser to do all he could. Matthew Henry asks, uncomfortably, if we pray for others and yet do nothing we could do to help them to faith and fruitfulness before the Lord, are we not mocking the Lord God? The challenge the vine dresser puts before us is to pray for those around us and help them, speak with them, share with them the manure of loving kindness and a word in season. Those delightfully quaint words have within them the seeds of both genuine friendship and godly faithfulness. How can we encourage those for whom we pray and help them in some way to find for themselves the wonder and liberty and joy of being a forgiven and fruitful child of God? It may be an invitation to hear a speaker. It could be a book or video, or just mixing with truly Christian people, or more likely, a mixture of all these things. If it bears fruit, both Lord and gardener will be delighted. All heaven and the Christian servant alike will rejoice. If not, the Lord God's justice and final judgment still stands. For our strong encouragement to follow the vine dresser's example in pleading with the Lord and doing all we can, we read in Peter's second letter that the Lord God is patient toward us. It is not the will of God that anyone should perish, but that all may come to repentance. Lord, in your mercy, give your ancient people, Israel, one more year, that they may turn and be exceedingly fruitful before you, as is your great purpose for them. In your mercy, give your sleeping, over-comfortable Christian church one more year, that we might turn and be fruitful before you, as your purpose is for us. Father, thank you that your terrible final judgment is tempered with mercy. You have given us days of grace in which we have every opportunity to repent, turn, and become fruitful, believing, willing servants of yours. Thank you for the scriptures that trim our roots and plainly display how far short we have fallen. Call us to repentance and direct us to your provision of forgiveness in the cross of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that they go on to teach us how, empowered by your Holy Spirit, we can, in love toward you and our neighbours, live fruitful lives before you.